Well, hello there, and welcome to Late in Life Lesbians. I'm your host, Sammy Nisbet. I've decided to take down the old episodes of Late in Life Lesbians and to start fresh, so here I am. This is sort of a rebirth, if you will. So here's my story. It's kind of a crash course in who I am or how I came into lesbianic existence and what I hope this podcast will do. I'm 43 years old. I'm the mother of two boys. I have two stepchildren, a handsome young man and a beautiful young woman. Collectively, they get on my goddamn nerves, but individually, there's no words to describe how much I have, how much I love these kids. But that's the kids. More about me. I was the youngest of three kids, and I was raised a middle-class straight girl in a straight world with plenty of straight friends and straight relatives. And one day when I was in high school, my brother, who was in college, came out of the closet to the family. And to say that his journey was a struggle would be an understatement. I'm not going to go too much into his life in this podcast, but I'll do that at a later date. He's got a story, and it should be told. My parents were not, they were not thrilled by the notion of having a gay son. But they didn't disown him or do anything drastic. I mean, they did their best to be accepting, but as we all know, we do our best, and sometimes our best isn't good enough, as the old song goes. So we kind of had a don't ask, don't tell policy in our house, and we kind of still do to a certain extent. I remember once when I was in college, during one of my brother's bouts with alcoholism and drug addiction, we, the whole family, found ourselves in one of his shrink's offices, and there we were actually forced to openly discuss his sexuality, his homosexuality, his gayness, if you will. So at the end of the session, my mother and I were sitting in the doctor's office or in the psychiatrist's office together, and we were alone, and she was crying, and I was... Again, I was still in college, and I said, I remember saying to her, I said, "Ma, you know, why are you crying like that? It's not like somebody died." And she whispered, "It's worse. It's worse." So basically, she viewed her son's sexuality, his homosexuality, as being worse than death. Those are words that I'm sure my brother never heard, but I'm sure he felt very often. Now, imagine, if you can, being a closeted lesbian and hearing your mother say that. That's enough to keep a secret for a very long time, I would guess. So years went by, and I had several long-term heterosexual relationships. I actually even loved one guy. Oddly enough, not the guy that I married, but I did genuinely love a guy, physically and emotionally. It turns out he didn't love me back. Maybe he was gay, I don't know. Probably not. But anyway, by the time I got to be 27, I ended up shacking up with a married guy that I worked with. And it was very physical. I'm not proud of it. I'm not sure what the psych books say about having affairs or being the other woman. Maybe it was the thrill. I think I even read once that gay people have affairs with married people just so they never have to commit to a relationship. I don't really know if that's the case. I can't say why I did it. I know that my self-esteem at the time had taken a knock, and I probably didn't know who or what I wanted. And the excitement of a married guy, maybe it was better than the taboo of being with a woman. I don't know. I have no idea. But he wasn't a nice guy. And through the course of that relationship, I allowed myself to be controlled and I allowed myself to be manipulated and emotionally abused. And some people, even members of the gay community, will say that I deserved that for not being honest with myself or to others or for having the affair. And I'll make a note to myself to remind myself to do an episode about how I went on message boards looking for advice from gays and lesbians at the time, only for them to just blast me for my infidelity. Anyway, while I was dating him, I got the courage to break up with him one day, only to find out that I was pregnant. Funny how that works. Karma, I guess. So I decided at the time that I was going to keep the baby. Oh, and I did tell him. He told me to have an abortion. That was fine. I actually had just purchased a home, so I was financially comfortable, and I don't know, maybe in the back of my mind I kind of envisioned myself years later being grown up with a kid, and maybe being true to myself and exploring certain desires that I had sort of squashed for so long, kind of like that single mom thing. Who knows? It doesn't work out that way, though. So he came back to me before I had the baby, and hormones being what they are, I was scared to go at it alone, so I took him back, and he was worse. The whole situation was worse. I had the baby. I got pregnant again. We got married. And by the time I realized it, I had two children with a guy who was not so nice. And I need to make it crystal clear that, you know, I knew that I was capable of loving men. I had in the past. But this guy, the guy that I married, he was not that type of guy. He wasn't. And I'm not going to go too much into it, but so when my youngest son was about two, I started going online and looking for women who were in similar situations to mine, women in crappy marriages and having feelings for other women, because it was about that time that I sort of started to admit it to myself, not to anybody else, but in the back of my mind I admitted it. So I met one woman online and we talked, and it turned out that her husband wanted to see her with another woman, which was not my cup of tea, so I didn't go there. But we did get together once. I did kiss her, which was probably the beginning of the end of my heterosexual life. She got freaked out by the kiss. She claims that she liked it too much, and being old world Sicilian, and I'm only a quarter Sicilian, we parted ways, and that was the end of that. But I caught the fever, you know? It's like having a potato chip. You can't just have one. So about a month later, I was back on another magazine, online magazine, and I was looking for hetero women with a certain hankering. And I found a like-minded individual right away. And we emailed, and we talked on the phone, and we had a lot in common. And she was funny and smart and quirky, and the picture that she sent was cute, and we met, and we kissed, and after, you know, a couple of months of this email and phone stuff, I mean, we really thought we kind of loved each other, and then as luck would have it, one day, as quickly as it started, a light switch went off on her part, and, oddly enough, we're still friends. But 2 months later, though, I became very, very, very ill. Was it karma? My illness actually lasted for about 5 years. And 4 out of those 5, I tried really, really hard to love my husband. I tried to find redeeming qualities, but there were few. Very few. I can't rob him of everything, though. He's somebody's right guy. He is. I'm sure of it. Just not mine or his previous wife's. And he's had a fucked up life. And for that, I do pity him. But, that being said, you can't carry that mommy was a lazy bitch and my absent daddy was an abusive prick. You can't carry that around all your life and blame everything on that. It gets tired and it gets abusive. So while I was recovering from my illness, maybe I was doped up on pain medication, as a matter of fact, I think I was, I decided to tell him that I found women attractive, one of my friends in particular. I told him, I said, I find her attractive. What would you do if I said that I wanted to kiss her? His response was to rape me. So that pretty much stopped the whole searching for redeeming qualities. Over. Done with. Do I need a shrink? Nope. Well, maybe I need a shrink, but not for that reason. If you have to look for a silver lining in a rape, I guess that was probably what was my straw. It pushed me over the edge, and I stopped questioning, and I stood up, and I told my parents. I told them what happened. Their reaction will be in another podcast. About a year later, he was out of my house. I know you're wondering why a year later, and that will come later too in another podcast. Right after he left my house, my brother died of cancer, and 6 months later, my divorce was finalized. It's a process. It's a process. So this podcast, we late-in-lifers have our own stories. Some are gruesome, some aren't. But no matter what, it's a struggle or a journey, and it's not easy. And we find ourselves in this sort of topsy-turvy world where we try to fit in. And we think, well, I'm out now, so I'll automatically be happy. I'll find happiness, and the weight of the world will be lifted off my shoulders. Only to find that we're basically emotionally back in kindergarten. We have a whole lot of learning to do with our new lives. So do me a favor. You can call me or email me and share your thoughts or your experiences. Let me know what's going on. We need support from each other. Remember, it's like being in limbo. We're like tweeners. My dog's growling. I think he might need to go out. I've got a lot to talk about. And if you want to be a part of the show or discussion, just reach out to me. We need each other. I've had a lot of Sambuca now, so I'm going to get going. I hope you've enjoyed the first episode. It was short. They won't be this short in the future. But I look forward to hearing from you. You can find my email address and a voicemail phone number where you can share your thoughts and ideas. And if you want to be a part of the show, I will set up a conference call and I will interview you for part of this podcast. And you can be anonymous or you can not be anonymous. You can make it known to the world. But I do have to let my dog out, so I wish you peace and love and happiness. My name is Sammy Nisbet, and I will be back next week with another episode of Late in Life Lesbians, and I do hope to hear from you. Be well.